Welcome to Season 5 of the Questions With podcast, hosted by Quest Ventures, the top venture capital fund in Asia. I am your host, Linh Ha, and in this season, we are diving into Vietnam's vibrant tech startup scene, particularly how innovation is driving impact and sustainability. Join me as we explore how this emerging Southeast Asian nation is embracing technological and scientific advancements, all while building a more sustainable future.
So, Hạnh Đỗ is the CEO and co-founder of BioBioplastics, a pioneering deep tech company that is converting bio-waste into 100% nature-based and biodegradable bioplastic solutions. Before founding Bio, she had a distinguished career as a director of business development, strategy, finance, and investment, with a demonstrated history of working across manufacturing, retail, investment, and consulting. She founded BioBioplastic to fulfill her passion for grooming new business ventures, especially those that capitalize on green technologies for protecting our planet and changing people's livelihood. Jack, thank you so much for taking the time to join our podcast today. You have had a very successful career in a variety of sectors, from manufacturing to finance. What was the factor that made you decide to transition from a very well-established career path to founding a deep tech startup like BioBioplastics?
Thank you, Ling and Quest Venture, for inviting me and Bio to join this podcast. Yeah, we started Bio in 2022 after Vietnam came out of COVID. And at that time, I realized that our life is facing a lot of uncertainties and risks. And I feel like it's the right timing to do something, not just only for us, but for our future generations. And having spent my whole career in the corporate sector and rotated through many different roles, I feel like it was also the right timing for me personally to step out of the corporate world and try to build something by myself. And I also realized that Vietnam is one of the countries with the worst plastic pollution in the world, and we have becoming the dumping ground for plastic waste from all different countries. And I think this is the right problem to solve. It's not just a problem for Vietnam, but also globally. Right timing because of COVID, because of awareness about planet, about our human health, and also with my personal drive. I wanted to start out something new, making impact for our future generations, and not just like making my own career for myself. So those were the factors that led me to the decision of founding Bio.
That's very inspiring, and I think your technology is very fascinating. Could you explain in a little bit more detail how Bio's technology works to convert bio-waste and plant-based materials into 100% nature-based biodegradable bioplastics? And what makes your solution so unique?
Our core technologies emphasize on transforming bio-waste from agriculture and food and beverage industry into a new bio-based material, which functions like plastic, but it's not plastics. And it can help address the two biggest shortcomings of plastics. First, it can be biodegradable in a natural environment, while the regular plastic just stays there for 500 to 1,000 years. And secondly, it contains no microplastics, so it's very safe for health, and it can help protect the health of our people and our animals from microplastics. What sets us apart from other bio solutions in the market is the most important difference is our feedstock raw material source. So we don't take any primary feedstock resources from the nature, like food crop or starch, which was the main feedstock for the first generation technology. For bio, we are taking the renewable bio-waste resources, which has been discarded to the environment. And so we offer a truly circular economy solution to our customer. We convert waste into plastic alternative, and we don't use any starch as a feedstock. Secondly, is the biodegradability of the material. The first generation technology often used PLA, polylactic acid, as a material, and this bioplastic can only biodegradable in the industrial composting facility condition, which means it needs high temperature to break down, while for our material, it can break down naturally in the environment at the ambient temperature. And thirdly, our solution can also offer no microplastic material, which is safe for food grade children products. and human health in general. It also generates much lower carbon footprint, only 55 to 60% compared to regular plastics. So it can help also offer a very low carbon emission solution. And finally, we also achieve a technology breakthrough, which means that our material, although bio-based in nature, but it can work with regular plastic manufacturing machine, and this allows very easy scaling up and commercialization at the mass scale.
So how do you define success for bioplastics? What key metrics or milestones are most important for you and your team besides profit and no other financial metrics?
Yeah, I think for any startup, scaling up and commercialization is a key definition of success, especially for deep tech startups, because we are working around technology and R&D. So even no matter how novel or how interesting the technology is, but if it didn't just stay in the lab and cannot be commercialized and go to market, then it's not successful. So for us, the key success metric at this point is commercialization and go to market. And we have been commercialized for more than 1 year so far. And we have built strategic partnerships with global companies around the world, both in the local market in Vietnam, as well as in European and American markets. And we are working with the top companies around the world, including AB InBev, IKEA, and many others.
I'm curious about the challenges that you faced in the early days when you first founded Bioplastics, and how did you decide what was the most effective go-to-market strategy for your company?
I think at each step, we face a certain different set of challenges. In the earlier stage, the challenge we faced was more about refining the technology, finding the really key market niche where we have very unique competitive advantages compared to other competing or rival technologies. So we try out with many different feedstock sources, like I mentioned earlier. We try with fruit skins, we try with starch, we try with paper, we try with bamboo. And finally, we realize that Vietnam is a big agriculture production country with a lot of agriculture waste, abundant agriculture waste resources available at almost zero cost. And it turns out to be a very ideal feedstock material for making bioplastics. So the challenge, so we overcame the first challenge, which is to nail down a very unique technology that can be breakthrough, that can be very environmental friendly, but then that can also utilize all the natural advantages of Vietnam as a manufacturing base. Then the second stage we were facing is the challenge of, yeah, I mentioned going to market and really like making this commercially viable. We have overcome this challenge by partnering with corporate partners, by joining a lot of accelerator programs sponsored by corporate partners, and they help us from day one to build our business model and also to fit our solution as a drop-in solution into their business model and help us to scale up. Now we are facing a third round of challenges, which is scaling up and driving down the cost, because our material, although very holistic, very eco-friendly, but the cost is still quite compared to the regular plastics. So now we hope that when we can scale up, we can drive down the cost and make this more accessible to the general consumers.
And so being sustainability focused startup comes with its own, you know, unique set of challenges, especially in developing market in Vietnam. You know, where people are not that highly aware of environmental responsibility compared to more developed markets like Europe or Singapore. So I totally understand the challenges and the obstacles that you just share. So from your viewpoint, what is the current landscape of sustainability and the green economy in Vietnam?
I agree that in the previous years, the Vietnam market was not there yet, was not ready yet for more like sustainable solutions because of many different reasons. Recently, I started to see a lot of positive movements, and I'm very confident that Vietnam will become a green hub in the world market for sustainable materials. For example, I saw that the government of Hanoi just issued a policy to ban all the single-use plastics in shopping malls, also in the hotel, hospitality, and F&B industry, starting from January 2026. So it's very soon, like almost 6 months, less than 6 months from now. And it's a very bold and courageous move to really address and tackle the plastic waste issue. Vietnam government is also issuing a new policy called EPR, extended producer responsibility, which require all the company using plastic packaging, they have to recycle their packaging, their plastic materials, or they have to pay or contribute to the government EPR fund to help recycling the material. And for biomaterials like ours, we will be exempted from EPR. This is what we are discussing with the government, and very likely it will be incorporated into the new policy. And also, I see a lot of more interest from local brands, local companies reaching out to us and asking for more sustainable solutions. So I feel actually Vietnam, I feel very positive about Vietnam's market. I think it's moving even faster compared to many other markets in the region. And I believe that very soon Vietnam will become a green hub in Southeast Asia for sustainable materials.
So I'm seeing a lot of opportunities here. What are some of the risks that you foresee in all of this policy shifts and changes, positive changes that are happening in our country?
You mean the challenges in Vietnam?
Yeah, the risk for your business. Because I see a lot of, you know, positive opportunities, potentials. But behind this, what do you see or foresee as some of the potential risk or obstacles that you might be facing as a part of this change?
It's not really an obstacle, but I also see it as an opportunity for improvement. I think there are two things. First is right now, you know, the economic situation is not that at the most like ideal condition. So we are still facing a lot of challenges internally, externally, you know, the tariff situation, the uncertainty in the global markets, the dropping demand, etc. And also the risk of global economic recession that may only impact Vietnam as a major export country. So that could lead to also more cost pressures on all the companies in the market. And when companies are under cost pressure, usually we go back to the most basic solutions. Like we try to come back to the survival mode. So we just try to source whichever is cheapest, but not really the best material or products in the market. So that's the first about purchasing power, about the health of the economy. The second risk, I think, is more about the awareness. The awareness for environmental friendly products. Right now, I still see it coming more from private sector. I would love to see it coming more also from the public sector. So I would like to see more public procurement programs focusing on green and eco-friendly materials. Also governments or state-owned corporations with their very big scale and big purchasing power, they can really be the driver and create a trend in the Vietnam's market to drive for the change into sustainable and green materials. But right now, I think that trend is being driven mostly by private sector and by SME companies.
Are there any government policies or shifts or frameworks that you'd love to see happening?
As I mentioned earlier, I already see a lot of positive policy shifts recently. All the policies that I mentioned are very positive policy direction. So now we just need to put this into enforcement. But sometimes I think the challenge in Vietnam is we have very good policy direction, but how soon we can enforce this and how effectively we can enforce this. Because plastic is everywhere in our economy, so how we can come up with a very effective mechanism to really combat the overuse of plastic, how we can come up with a very enforceable regulation measures to try to reduce the use and such use of plastics.
So what are next moves for bioplastic in all of this changing opportunities?
Commercially, we are keeping expanding our markets. We already have customers in Europe, in USA, in Japan. But going forward, we would like to expand to new markets as well, such as Australia, Italy, as well as deepen our footprint in those overseas markets, expand more customer base, as well as also in the local home market in Vietnam as well. We also got a lot of interest from overseas markets to have to call for us to establish our manufacturing footprint overseas. So that could be also one of the future directions that we are going to look at. Secondly, I think product development and innovation in R&D, we will continue to deepen so that we can offer more new products to the market. For example, besides the plastic alternatives, we are also working on a new technology, which is called biofermentation technology. And we will create 100% bio-based material from bacteria using this technology that we can use for more high-tech industries like medical or cosmetic or textiles. So that's also another technology direction that we've been pursuing. And finally, it's about, like I mentioned earlier, scaling up, driving costs, and building up the team so that we can bring our technology and our solution at a more affordable level to customers in different markets.
So we have been talking a lot about, you know, macro, big picture level. I want to zoom in a little bit and focus more on you as an entrepreneur. So on a more personal level, how do you define success for yourself as a leader?
As a leader, I think the success for me is the success for Bio and for the team, more than for myself. So the success for Bio, as I define, is about commercialization and scaling up at this point, how we can make Bio become a brand behind all the top brands in the world. So like Intel inside in every computer or laptop. So we even have Bio inside in every eco-friendly plastic packaging or products in the world market. So whenever people see bioplastic product, bio-based product, they will think about, oh, this is made from biomaterials. So that's my aspiration. Secondly, I would love to see the company growing, the team growing, and also not just Bio growing alone as a company. I would love to see also Bio as a driver and facilitator to create a new ecosystem and supply chain of biomaterial in Vietnam, because we are the material supplier. We provide the technology and the material. So together with us, we can help also our partners like OEM manufacturing companies and raw material feedstock supplier companies to grow together so that we can help build the whole supply chain of green bioplastic material in Vietnam.
So if everything goes well, what kind of legacy do you hope to leave in Vietnam's sustainability movement?
Yeah, that's exactly what I just mentioned earlier. That's building Vietnam into green hub of, you know, bio sustainable material. Our companies here, our consumers here in Vietnam will become the front runners in the world market, or at least in the Southeast Asia region, to drive this new consumption trend. People will move towards more eco-friendly materials, even though that means that they may need to accept to pay more, but they are willing and they invest in those eco-friendly and green materials. And secondly, on the supply side, we become the main manufacturing hub and supply chain of green materials in the region that can be considered as a top choice for all the global brands. So when they talk about green materials, biomaterials, they think about not China or Korea, or Thailand or Taiwan, they think about Vietnam. That's my ambition.
Do you have any advice to give to other entrepreneurs, young aspiring entrepreneurs who want to enter the green economy sector?
I feel like looking back our 3-year journey so far, I think we got a lot of support, a lot of opportunities, much more than challenges. So I just want to say to young entrepreneurs who want to go into ESG or green tech areas, I feel like this is the right timing and you should ride on the trend. You should grab the opportunity because there's no better timing than now.
All right. So thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your insight. It's really inspiring to hear how you and Bio is not just reacting to policy changes, but actively shaping the Vietnam's green future. So thank you so much for being a part of this movement, of this positive change that happening in Vietnam. And we really appreciate your time talking to us and to our listeners today. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Until next time.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Chiang.